from the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean. Good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to America's most listened to late night talk show, Coast to Coast AM. Open lines for you this hour, next hour. Well, this being the 10th anniversary of the Oklahoma City Federal Building bombing, we'll be joined by author Peter Lantz with new, sometimes startling, information and theories. Who helped McVeigh and Nichols 10 years ago? In the Vatican City, black smoke poured from the Sistine Chapel's chimney in the Vatican Monday evening, signaling that the cardinals meeting in secret inside have not yet chosen the next pope to lead the world's 1.1 billion Roman Catholics. The black smoke meant that the 115 voting cardinal princes of the church would retire for the night, and they have now, and return to the chapel on Tuesday morning for more balloting in their search for a successor to Pope John Paul II. If two morning ballots failed to produce a pope, the cardinals could hold two more votes Tuesday afternoon. Some 40,000 people who packed St. Peter's Square to stare at the stovepipe jutting from the chapel roof shouted, it's black," and snapped photos of the smoke with their cell phones. Monday was the first day of what could be a long yet historic process to elect the next pope, or it could all wrap up in the next day or two. Over the past 100 years, conclaves have taken between 2 and 5 days to select a pope. The average is about 3 days. Listen to this. Picture yourself on a cruise ship having a good time, right? A cruise ship struck by a freak 7-story high wave that smashed windows and sent furniture flying returned to New York Harbor and docked at its berth on the Hudson River. The Norwegian Dawn arrived with more than 2,000 passengers still on board after some 300 others decided to just get off early in Charleston, South Carolina and fly or drive home. It docked at Pier 88 on Manhattan's west side. One of the passengers, Ellen Tesoro, she was there with her husband, Bill. Ellen, thanks for joining us. I know it's been a long day for you, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has.
Now tell me a little bit, when this all happened, where were you and your husband?
We had left our room up in the front of the ship on the 10th floor, and we went to midship on the 7th floor, the reception area.
Ellen and Bill, of course, are from Wayne, New Jersey. It started off, I'm sure, as a great time. Was it a nightmare on the way home, or did people still have a nice time?
Afterwards?
Yeah.
I got off the ship in North Carolina.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, in South Carolina, I mean, yeah. They flew me home. I was one of the 80 people. We had no room left.
So, did your room flood?
Yes.
Tell me, what was it like just with the sound, that smashing sound of that wave?
It was horrible, horrible, just horrendous, scary and horrible.
I know for a moment you and Bill went to the casino there, right?
Well, we went, yeah, earlier on Friday night, we had went to the casino. We didn't, you know, Friday was a rough day too, and we were trying to stay out of our room, trying to stay midship so we wouldn't get sick. And, yeah, for a little while we went to the casino on Friday.
Ellen, whereabouts were you in the ocean when this wave hit?
Well, we were somewhere off the Georgia coast, I believe.
Okay. And I am sure you have never experienced anything like this before.
Never.
Did you talk to any passengers who witnessed the wave, that they might have seen it coming in?
No, and it wasn't any particular wave. There was about at least 3 hours of 60-foot waves going and going and going.
My God, what was the ship doing in that kind of weather in the first place?
We'd all like to know that ourselves.
Well,
why they plowed us through that weather for almost 2 days.
Would you ever go on a cruise again?
Never.
That's it for you, huh?
Yeah, that's definitely it for us.
But everybody's okay.
Yeah, thank God.
Now, in your room, I understand what, tables were flying and things were getting jostled around?
Tables were flying. A desk went flying across the room over on its side. Dishes, plates were flying like crazy. Food all over the place.
Well, I'm glad you're okay, Ellen, and your husband as well. All right, you take care of yourself. Get some sleep. Yeah,
okay.
she's been up she's been up all night talking to media all around the world, actually. And what a situation. You're on a cruise line. You want to have a great time. 70-foot wave smashes. But like she said, this was an ongoing thing. I mean, maybe the ship shouldn't have been out in the first place. They do get weather forecasts, don't they? Yeah, doctor says that cancer will be cured by 2015. His name is Dr. Andrew von Eschenbach. He is the head of the U.S. National Cancer Institute. He says by 2015, we can eliminate cancer suffering and death. He said scientists now understand the genetic mechanisms that cause cancer and can develop treatments to interrupt those processes before they kill. Well, I hope the good doctor is correct before the world government people get a hold of it, because I still contend they'd like to see the world's population reduced. And when you get cures like this, well, that's not going to happen. However, if you are a toothpaste user, as most of us are, listen to this one. Dozens of toothpastes sold at supermarkets are at the center of a cancer alert now. And antibacterial cleaning products, including dishwashing liquid and hand wash, also affected. Researchers have discovered that triclosan, a chemical in the products, can react with water to produce chloroform gas. If inhaled in large enough quantities, chloroform can cause depression, liver problems, and in some cases, cancer. Trichlorosin is in these toothpastes: dental mouthwash and toothpaste, Colgate Total Fresh Stripe, Colgate Total, Sensodyne Total Care, Tesco's own brand toothpaste, Mentadent, and Aquafresh. So you do what you want to do, but that's what they're saying. With prescription drugs Vioxx and Bextra already pulled from the market, a study has raised disturbing questions about the heart safety of long-term use of over-the-counter pain relievers. Now, smokers in Norway who took such drugs for at least 6 months had twice the risk of dying of a heart attack, stroke, or other health and heart-related problems. Now, these were smokers. The findings came from a study of whether these pain relievers could prevent oral cancer. That's what they wanted to find out. The drugs did, in fact, cut the risk of developing oral cancer in half, but the deaths that were prevented were offset, they say, by the increased risk of dying from cardiovascular disease, according to the study, which was reported at an American Association for Cancer Research conference in Anaheim, California. The study was relatively small, 908 people involved. They were prone to heart problems and cancer because they smoked, but specialists said it supports the FDA administration's recent decision to warn about long-term use of these painkillers, all except aspirin. The findings add to the suspicion that the heart risk extends beyond the so-called COX-2 drugs, Bextra, Vioxx, and Celebrex, to the larger family of medications known as non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, which include naproxen, ibuprofen, and virtually all of the other over-the-counter pain relievers except acetaminophen and Tylenol. The Supreme Court has agreed to consider whether a church in New Mexico can continue using hallucinogenic tea in its religious services. That issue is whether use of the tea, which contains a drug banned under the Federal Controlled Substances Act, is protected under the freedom of religion laws. The Bush administration contends this tea is illegal and use of it is potentially dangerous for church members. Justices will review a lower court ruling that allowed that the Brazilian-based church be allowed to import and use the tea while the case was appealed. Arguments will be heard in the court's next term, beginning in October. And a sad story, a past Coast to Coast AM guest, James Arthur, who was on the program last with me on December 11th of 2003, as he talked about mushrooms and his belief that the symbolism of a mushroom represented Jesus and Santa. He is dead under very strange circumstances. His website said that he died under clouded and suspicious circumstances. The reports I'm hearing says that he was found dead in jail with a sheet around his neck. December 11th, 2003, was when James Arthur was on Coast to Coast AM. Let's fast forward a little bit. Santa Claus. Are you saying he was a mushroom too?
Santa Claus is a mushroom.
No.
That's right. He wears red and white, the same colors of the Amanita muscaria.
All right.
And he is round and fat.
Like the mushroom.
Like the mushroom. And he is associated with the pine trees.
Yes.
Santa is the... is the anthropomorphized mushroom. Now, this is the term that you have to understand if you're going to realize what's going on here, is that people for many, many thousands of years have taken and anthropomorphized things and given them human characteristics.
Well, I believe that.
Now, much do they do this when they have plants that they can actually communicate with. Now, they anthropomorphize these plants, and it's evident all over the world. So when I say anthropomorphize, I mean they literally take the plant and give it human characteristics. So you'll see Christmas tree ornaments with mushrooms and Santa popping out the top.
So James Arthur, Coast to Coast guest, dead. Lex will have posted, by the way, in the next day or so, the December 11th program for you if you want to listen to it again. And goes on the heels of several other Coast to Coast guests who have died. Of course, Dr. John Mack, expert in alien abductions. He died in London when he was hit by a car while crossing the street. And then, of course, the still unsolved murder of Dr. Eugene Malov, who was working on cold fusion. Seattle police launched an investigation to determine how a patient undergoing emergency heart surgery caught on fire at a local hospital. The male patient, not identified, went up in flames after alcohol poured on his skin was somehow ignited by a surgical instrument. The patient died after surgery, but the hospital says that was due to heart failure, not the fire. Professor Hugo Degarius taught me this. Moore's Law, the guiding principle that has driven the computer chip industry, celebrating its 40th birthday this week. The law was adopted after Intel co-founder Gordon Moore wrote in an article in 1965 that the number of transistors on a chip would double every 24 months, and therefore computers would constantly get faster. New results, by the way, from a particle collider suggest that the universe behaved like a liquid in its earlier moments, not the fiery gas that was thought to have pervaded the first microseconds of existence. That's baffling them now, I think, as these scientists and physicists get more and more into science like this. They're going to realize for sure that there are other universes and other dimensions. And by the way, the return to the movie Amityville Horror, all right, it's called the Amityville Movie. It has been very rewarding for the producers. The film in North America, taking in $23.3 million, still goes to show you, people love these scary movies. Here are the phone numbers. We've got open lines for you. West of the Rockies, 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. First-time caller line. That is 818-501-4721 in the wild card line. That's open for you right now. 818-501-4109. I got to tell you, I'm so pumped about this. A couple weeks ago during one of our open lines, we were talking about Mr. Wizard, Don Herbert. You know how some of those icons in the past affect all of us when we're kids? Well, he was one of the best, I'll tell you. Well, you know, I didn't know where he was. All of a sudden, a lot of you began fast-blasting me, giving me websites and things like that. We found him. We found him. He's going to be 88 in July, lives not too far from the coasttocoastam.com studios, and guess what? He wants to be on the program. So in the not-too-distant future, Mr. Wizard will come in for an hour. He's got some hearing problems, but he should be okay. But he's going to come into the studio, and we'll take phone calls, and we'll just talk about what it was like when in 1951 he went on television with that very first program, Mr. Wizard. Let's go to the phones. East of the Rockies, welcome to the program. Hi there.
Hi.
Where are you?
I'm just outside of Louisville, Kentucky.
What's going on in Louisville, Kentucky?
Everything's gearing up for the Derby.
Oh, and isn't that exciting out there when that happens?
It's wonderful.
Any tips, by the way?
No. No, just close your eyes and point your finger and pick one.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was calling tonight about something really freaky that happened to me.
What happened?
Okay. My daughter and I have been wrestling with this, it may sound funny, but about immunizations for my granddaughter because she's at risk for getting autism. Anyway, so I've prayed about it and just been, you know, really wrestling. Should you get the immunizations? Should you not get immunizations? And on the 21st of March, and typically my husband and I listen to your show, my radio just came on by itself. It was on for about a minute and a half, and it was a doctor who was talking about immunizations and autism. And then somebody called in with a question about it, and it answered every question I had and told me where to go, on what website, and my radio turned off. And it was freaky. I have examined every possibility for my radio to do that. It's never done it before or since. But it was so uncanny that it was just something that we'd been wrestling with so much.
What did you decide to do?
Well, I called my daughter, and because she stays up late, and she said, "Mom, she's supposed to go in 2 days to get the immunizations." She says, "Well, we're not going." And so we decided not to have her immunized right now.
Yeah, you know, it's a tough decision, and what I say on this program, of course, is, I will never, ever tell you what to do or not to do. That's your business with you, your family, your doctor, whoever you want to talk to. I have elected, in my particular case, not to take, for example, the flu vaccine. I mean, that's my call. That's my personal decision. I haven't had the flu. In your particular case, you know, research it and then, you know, give it your best shot and do what you think you have to do. And if you think things that you've heard make sense, then you got to follow your conscience.
Well, right. I know that, but I just thought it was so freaky that my radio would turn on like that, stay on for less than a minute and a half. And I would have called you, but it was the top of the hour, and you were changing to something else.
It might be the right move for you.
But it was so weird, yes.
Well,
we decided to wait till she's older anyway.
Things work in strange ways.
They do.
Okay, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Back to the Derby, by the way. Somebody emailed me last week and said, George, the last several Derby winners, maybe the last seven or eight, have all had two names, you know, like, you know, like my sponsor, Select Comfort, stuff like that. So if there's a two-name horse, he said that's the one that has a good chance of winning. So I don't know how many are in there with two names, but that's where we're putting our money down, aren't we, Daniel? West of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi.
Yes, sir.
Hey, my name is Lieutenant Keith. I'm in the United States Navy.
Hey, so was I.
And I'm a public affairs officer.
Okay, 1655, are you?
What's that?
You're 1655. That's your designator.
Right, right. Check this out. I heard a long time ago that you were also a public affairs officer.
Uh-huh.
You said you never saw combat.
No, I did not.
Well, I've seen a little bit too much combat for my call. But this is my question. It's really quick because I have to go back to work.
All right.
Okay. This is about guardian angels. Now, it's very skeptical because I'm really skeptic about these things about, you know, number 8 in your wallet or guardian angels or palm reading. But something's just bothering me in my head for like longest time, and that is when I was in I can't tell you where I went, but it was in the Middle East about 3 years ago, like 2002 2003.
Okay.
I was stabbed in the stomach, okay, with a spear, and this is during going house to house, you know, raiding these houses, not so much as raiding these houses, but I was just following this unit and taking pictures.
Oh my god.
And this soldier came out of nowhere, this enemy soldier, and stabbed me in the stomach, and I was unconscious for the longest time. But when I woke up, I was being carried on this guy's back, and this guy just came out of nowhere. I didn't even know who he was. I think he was a Marine, right? Well, long story short, I went to the med bay on an aircraft carrier, and I heard this guy's voice, right?
Right.
And so I turned around trying to look for him, right? Because I remember distinctively when he was carrying me that he said, "You're going to be okay, you're going to be okay." But then I turned around, I didn't see him, but I heard his voice, right? And so the other day when I was about to buy a house, this is about a few months ago, I was about to buy a house, and I went to this to talk to this escrow guy, and it turned out this is the same guy.
Oh, my.
But no. Okay, this is going to get a little bit crazy. Okay,
I may have to hold you over for the break because I got about 40 seconds left. Can you?
Okay, I have to go back to work anyways. Okay, but anyways, this guy said he was going to get me into this house and he's going to get to me really quickly, and he did. And but I never seen him again. And I asked anybody else have they ever seen him? And nobody's ever seen him before or ever again.
Does he exist?
I don't know, but I just think he's a guardian angel. I think it's because people have been telling me, because I'm a Buddhist, that that I'm like a fortune baby and that people follow me around and help me, but I've never seen
him. He may be, Lieutenant. Where are you stationed, by the way?
San Diego.
Okay, good for you. You take care. I'll be back in a moment. Open lines continue this hour. I'm George Norrie, and this is Coast to Coast AM.
Get it in writing with the After Dark newsletter. Subscribe by calling 1-888-727-5505.
Storm came over me. And I felt my spirit break. I had lost all of my belief, you see. And realized my mistake, but time threw a prayer to me, and all around me became still. I need
to talk with George Norrie, call the Wildcard line at area code 818-501-4109. The first-time caller line is area code 818-501-4721. To talk with George toll-free from east of the Rockies, call 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, toll-free at 1-800-618-8255. International callers may reach George Norrie by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5. And dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From the City of Angels, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
Well, this being the 10th anniversary of the Oklahoma City bombing, our guest will be Peter Luntz, one of his books, 1,000 Years for Revenge. But we're going to talk about some new information Peter says he has about this whole situation. By the way, just a few more weeks to go, and I shall not be bringing up the After Dark CD information until closer to Christmas again, so take advantage of it where you get double CDs, bumper music, unforgettable calls to the show, and, of course, ghost stories. You can order online, which is the simple way, at www.afterdarkcd.com, or call this toll-free number, 1-800-598-2331. That's 1-800-598-2331. And welcome back to Coast, and let's go right back to the calls. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Chris from Las Vegas.
Hey, Chris, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I was calling it because I had an angel experience back when I was 14 years old.
And you still remember it, so it must have had a big impact on you.
It scared me to death when it did.
A scary angel story, huh?
Yeah, well, it was shocking. What had happened that me and a bunch of friends of mine, we were up like at camp. We were all in this cabin. And me and a friend of mine, we had to share a bed. And we were all asleep. And then I was woken up, and my friend, he was kind of just thrashing about on the bed and just kind of moaning, just kind of thrashing and moaning. And, you know, and it seemed to me like he was having some kind of nightmare or something.
Yeah.
And it was almost completely dark in there. There was a little moonlight coming in through the window. And I didn't really know what to do. I didn't know if I had to go, you know, get one of the people in charge or anything. That was our guide, Don, who was in charge of sleeping down the hall.
Wake him up.
Yeah. And so I shook his shoulder, and he wasn't waking up. And you know how it is when it's really, really dark, and, you know, sometimes you'll get some weird images.
Sure.
You know. And strangely, I just kind of saw this arm starting to come out over his chest, just about maybe 4 feet, about 3 feet, 3 to 4 feet over his chest. And he's thrashing, and I'm seeing this arm start to extend out. And I was thinking that this must be like one of those, you know, just kind of things that you see. So what I did, you know, I wasn't sure, so I reached out. And I was expecting my hand to go through it, but I didn't. I touched a physical arm.
Now, and you were thinking maybe it was his arm, or were you convinced it was from somebody else?
I knew it was, you know, once I touched it, I didn't know what it was, but it felt like a arm of flesh. And I knew it wasn't his arm because his arms were right there on his body. And this one was kind of extending just out of nowhere. My first thought was that somebody was, like, standing up, maybe on the dresser, and that's what they would have had to have done: stand up on the dresser, bend over.
And you just really couldn't see the person, I guess, right?
Yeah, all I saw was an arm.
Okay.
It was just this disembodied arm reaching down, and I touched the arm, and I jumped back, and I was still in the bed. I was like at the edge of my bed, and this arm just reached down, and it touched my friend's chest, and he just went. He calmed down, and he just went right to sleep.
Now, when he woke up, did he remember any of this?
He didn't remember anything at all. But, you know, and then, you know, and I saw this arm, it extended back and disappeared. And I thought, well, there's someone else has got to be in here. Someone else has got to be in here. So I got out of bed. I turned on the light. My friend, he didn't wake up.
Yeah.
And I said, well, it's got to be... It was sort of... It wasn't a light color. It was sort of a darker arm. And the guy that... was down the hall, you know, it was a darker arm. He had darker skin. You know, but I our door was closed under the bed. I looked in the closet. I took the entire room out thoroughly. And it was just me and my friend.
What make you think it was angelic and not something else? Some kind of demon.
Well, because I had the feeling it did something good for him. I mean, apparently my impression was that my friend was going through something nightmarish because the way he was moaning and the way he was thrashing.
Well, what if this thing had already possessed him and that's why he was thrashing around? And maybe, what if the arm was coming out of him, not reaching around him? Is that possible?
Well, just from the sequence of events, he woke up, he was thrashing, there was no arm, and until he was thrashing around first, and then that's when the arm came out from above.
What's that sound I hear in the background, by the way? Do you hear it?
I don't. I'm sitting in my car, and the windows are up.
Sounds like
I don't know.
Sounds like a spirit in the background, to tell you the truth. All right, well, you better be careful. No, I heard that something went in the back. I did. Let's go to our first-time caller line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Good morning, George.
Yay. Where are you calling from?
It's Wichita, Kansas. My name's Marty.
Hey, Marty. What's up?
Oh, it's great to be on. I've called many times, but I've never made it on before.
Well, you've got the platform now.
Great. I'm calling about the Mark of the Beast. You've all heard of that, of course.
The triple sixes. Huh?
Right, 666. Well, this is something that I just kind of... I was watching Jack Van Impe, and I'm sure you've heard of him. And he was talking about the Mark of the Beast, and... of course, you know, this was the original text was written in probably, what was it, Aramaic or Hebrew or something like that. It wasn't English, that's the point. But nevertheless, if you take the English alphabet and you add, if you give each one a numerical value beginning with 6 at A and then B would be 12, if you add 6 to each letter, it would be A equals 6, B equals 12, C would be then 18, all the way to Z, which would equal 158. You following me so far?
So far.
And then if you take a piece of paper and you spell mark of beast, like if you're adding the numbers instead of writing it out, if you write M on top and then underneath that ARK as if you're going to add them.
Same number.
Then if you write beside those numbers, the corresponding numbers that would, for instance, under that M would be 78, A would be, of course, 6, and so on. And if you add those numbers up, guess what you come up to?
158.
No, 666. Mark of beast, if you add the numbers, it comes to 666.
All the time.
Well, I don't know if you want to just take my word for it, but the readers can easily check this by themselves.
All right, we'll give it a try. I mean, there is something in the numbers. There's no doubt about that. Let's go to our wild card line. Your turn. Hi there.
Hello.
Hi.
This is Jim from Chicago.
Hey, Jim, what's happening up there in WLS land?
I had a son. He was 11 years old. He died in a fire at his mother's house.
I'm sorry to hear that.
And about a week before he died, I met this girl over the internet. It was internet dating type thing.
Uh-huh.
We emailed, we started talking, and we set a date. Well, my son died that week, and I called her, of course, to tell her what happened, and she said, can I come to the funeral? I said, sure. And it was a weird way to meet, but I met her there.
Well, it is strange, but yeah, at least she had the compassion to do that.
It was very nice. About a week and a half after the funeral, I went to her house, and we were watching a movie, and we were talking, and I had told her something that happened. One of his bats that he had got at a White Sox game fell off the rack out in the garage. I heard it all the way in the house, and just told her the story about it, and it kind of, you know, it's kind of weird. So she began to start telling me about how she had these visions. And the vision was, first of all, she told me how her mom would come to her bed at night. And she would see other people in the background from different eras, and she hears music. And this has been going on ever since her mother died. And, in fact, she had seen these people all her life, even when she was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, my son started coming with her. And he was coming to her bed at night, and this kept going on. And finally, she started telling me things about my son that she could have never known, how he'd watch TV and kick his legs and stuff like that. Then that night before I left, I was real startled. I said, why don't you come to my house tomorrow night? And I explained the directions to my house. And she said I was going to explain them. And before I could explain them, she told me exactly how to get to my house. And I said, how did you know that? And she goes, I was just shown that. And I didn't tell her, and the next day she came right to my house. And it was really, really weird. And then, anyway, trying to make this short as I can, a few weeks later, she got a vision, and it was from my son. And it showed how he died in this fire. Right from the beginning, the story didn't make sense. And he was shown that his stepfather had come back, that he had gotten to the house, and the fire was set by him. And what happened was
set he, by him.
Oh. Yes. And that he had gotten up out of bed after this fire started. His stepfather left, went back to work, and he got up and went to go get his mother out of bed. And she told him, go under the bed and get under this blanket and just wait for the paramedics, wait for the firemen to get here.
But why, they couldn't get out of the door? The door was blocked, I guess, huh?
No, the door was not blocked. He could have went right outside. She could have sent him out of the house, and instead she sent him under a blanket in her bedroom in the part of the house where he could not get out.
Why in the heck did she do that? Why didn't they just run?
Well, because what I'm trying to say is the story is messed up, because she said that he woke her up, and what happened was she sent him to look for a phone, and then he called for him about a couple minutes later, and he couldn't find him, and then all of a sudden she said the flames got bigger, and then she left him in there.
Oh, God.
But what really happened is it was started. She was waiting for him, told him to go under this blanket, and then she left the house and left him in there.
Well,
called 911 from the other end of the house.
What kind of a mother would leave her kid in the house?
Well, exactly. And these visions have progressed over the last year and a half to the point where we know exactly how they did it, who helped him.
What was their motivation for doing this?
Well, this man didn't like me from the beginning. he's a cop.
Yeah, but why take it out on the little kid, for crying
out? Exactly. Well, he told me from day one, he goes, I'm going to take you down, boy. I'm going to take you out. And what he did was is he told her that he didn't want to, before they got married, I don't want to marry you because of your kids. I just want to marry you. Well, it ended up, he ended up coming into the picture anyway. He ran my oldest son out of the house by doing a lot of bad things.
Well, okay, I don't want to get into all this about him and you, but what's the bottom line? What's happened since?
Well, the bottom line is there was an investigation that ended up coming out 3 months later, and it was, in fact, not an accident. It wasn't electrical like she said it was. It was actually
arson.
Started by someone.
And, but they've
and
never,
it was
they've
never solved. And
never solved.
To this day, it's just a mess, and it really stinks. I just wish there was some way I could figure out a way to make the truth come out.
Well, I know. And by the way, our condolences to you on your loss. I mean, I've never been in that position, and God, I hope I never am.
Thank you very much.
All right, you're welcome. Where do you go from there? East of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
George, greetings from Memphis, Tennessee. My name is Chuck.
Hey, Chuck, what's up?
I just wanted to tell you a couple quick little stories. Back during the early 70s, you remember the Jesus Revolution when everybody was out on the streets handing out tracts?
They were always doing that. It never stops.
Yeah, well, me and my best friend, his name is David, we were very zealous. We became Christians because we were both orphaned around the same time.
All right, well, there's nothing wrong with that. If that's what you believe in, go for it.
Yeah. Anyway, we're in a parking lot at Bowling Alley, the local Bowling Alley, and, a lot of the high school kids are out there. We had about 20 of them, and we were just telling them our situation. It was kind of, it was a very, exploding situation when you, get born again or whatever you want to call it, meeting the Lord or the Lord accepting you. And I was really turned around in my life, and we had like, it was like 20 kids on the ground kneeling and giving their life to the Lord Jesus. And anyway, we went home that night, about 10 or so. I went to bed. I woke up about 1 in the morning, and it was just, I was laying down flat in my bed and saw this dark figure, and it just like up in the corner of my room, and just like slammed into me and laid me back down and started twisting my head just like the Exorcist. And I couldn't scream, I couldn't yell, or anything.
What was it?
I was at home, and all of a sudden, all these demonic figures, started coming at me and like screaming all sorts of obscenities that I can't even repeat on the radio. Like,
well, I got to tell you, lots of people are plagued. So what happened to you?
Okay, well, so anyway, I just said, I plead in the blood, by the blood of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, leave me now. And it went away, and I had the most peaceful feeling in the world.
Well, you know what? If it works for you, use it. That's all I can say. But I tell you what, lots of people plague these days, and it's ongoing, too. Next up, west of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, George, how you doing?
Good.
This is Desert Chad from San Francisco, California.
Hey, which I will be at on Sunday.
I noticed that in the paper.
Come on out and say hi. Come on.
You betcha. Yep. You betcha. I want to talk about chemtrails for a quick second.
Yeah.
Has anybody ever mentioned to you that they're in video games now?
No, I didn't know that.
You know, like in the PlayStation 2 and the Xbox games, I don't play these games. I'm old school, like pinball. But a lot of my friends are into these games, and I'm noticing, I'm sitting in their house watching them play it, and there's one, it's one of the Grand Theft Auto games, I think. There's actually a white, unmarked plane at one point in the game.
Oh,
it comes across the sky, George, and leaves a white line down it.
Do they do checkerboards or just that one line?
Just that one line. There's another video game, it's a beach volleyball game, and in the sky in the background, there's two chemtrail lines. One looks like it's a fresh laid line, and the one underneath it looks like it's been up for about 15 minutes. The way they look after they're about 15 minutes late, how they start to spread out a little bit.
What are they trying to tell the kids subtly, huh?
You know, I don't know. I think they're trying to maybe get them used to seeing this stuff like it's a normal thing, that there's white lines in the sky every day.
Yeah, just trying to pacify them.
It's just really strange that there's...
Calm them down.
Yeah, there's chemtrails in the sky in the video game.
I didn't know that.
I just noticed it recently. And one more quick thing.
Yeah.
The guy that just called about the Mark of the Beast.
Yes.
I truly think that's going to be on the little implant chip they're going to want to put in everybody's hand.
Well, somebody was telling me on the barcodes that somewhere along the line there are 666s and barcodes. Some people have pointed it out to me. I can't find it.
I've looked for that too myself. I haven't seen it. But I think that implant chip they're going to want to put in the hand will probably more likely be the mark of the beast. And one more quick thing on shadow people.
Got to run.
Okay.
Got one more call. Let's go to our, what line is this? International line? You are on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello, George.
Oh, no. It's not you.
Do you notice that Oscar calls on line 6, George?
Oh, you've moved on to the international line? You failed to call on a Friday, which is the night that is open to you. Now you call on Mondays.
Evil will win, George.
Oscar.
And I will make you a deal.
Oscar, what do you want?
If you can arrange an exorcism and my father agrees to it, I will allow you to try, George.
You're saying... there have been, what, 122, 23 exorcisms on you now?
123, George.
And you say one worked.
One.
Who was the priest that performed that one? Because that's the one I want.
That priest is dead, George.
Oh, he's dead. And when did that happen, Oscar?
And I can assure you that was in 1986, George, and I can assure you if I get extracted from Rachel, I will... doom another coast-to-coast listener, George.
I don't think you have that power anymore, Oscar. I'll take you up on the challenge. We'll find an exorcist to do this.
If my father agrees...
Well, you better start talking to him. Talk to him. Talk to him. We'll take care of it. You get Rachel here. We'll take care of her. We'll fix her up, and you'll be gone for good. I'll be back in a moment.
Want to time travel? Go back to past shows on Streamlink. Sign up online at coasttocoastam.com.